Okay, well, I really want to have some fun today. I'm so thankful for everyone who's here on a special day, especially all you moms. And so church would not be what it is without the women of our church, the heart of the moms that you guys bring and make so many things happen in such a lovely, special way. And so... And there's one story, especially, there's several great stories all throughout the Bible, but there's one that just, to me, captures so much of Jesus' heart for his own mom, and just a special relationship that they had that I think will be fun. And as we can continue on in this message series of adventures with Jesus through going on a road trip with him, it is just one more stop on just this fun traveling around with Jesus. And it is this little pit stop, this little side story that somehow became this famous story that couldn't help but be captured and written down. And I just know none of the people walking into the setting of this story ever thought it would become what it became. And so it has to do with a wedding party. And so let me, and maybe some of you guys, hey, is this a good time to do a little announcement right in the middle of a message since you walked in? And not everybody knows that our own Juliana Hansen is getting married this summer. And so I know several of you were at her wedding shower, her bridal shower yesterday, and so know that that was a great time. I heard my girls walked away with a lot of the prizes, and so. But there's nothing like a wedding that brings people together, that reunites families together and friends, and you never know what's going to happen. Believe me, I've done and been around lots and lots of weddings, and they're all so special and so unique, but you never know what's going to happen. And the same was true back then. Well, in the Gospel of John is recording everything that that's happening from the beginning to the end of Jesus' ministry. And in the early days of Jesus' ministry, he's cataloging this, and he says, the next day... And we're going to find out what happened before that next day. There was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also on the invitation list. And so it's not a road trip without a good map. And we've been referencing this map every Sunday for a few Sundays here. Because remember, last Sunday we were strolling along the border between Galilee and Samaria. Samaria, where we ran into those 10 lepers. And so Jesus has just previously, before having to make it to this wedding and meet back up north here in Cana, he was way down here on the Jordan, a few miles outside of Jericho, this part of the Jordan River, getting baptized. And so... So this is that famous story when the heavens opened and everybody heard God's voice when Jesus came up out of the water. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then after that, John doesn't record the stories that Matthew and Luke does of how after the baptism, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting and resisting any temptation the devil could throw his way. And then after that, formally beginning his ministry. And so...
The wilderness in Jericho.
And so, well, it was in that area. And so, but he couldn't, he had this one date on the calendar that he had to get to before he could really kick things off. And only Jesus' buddy John records this out of all the four gospel writers. And if you remember the end of the book of John, remember how John closes his gospel and says, hey, look, there's just not enough ink and papyrus to go around to write down all the things that Jesus did. If there were, it would could be enough books in all the world to contain all the amazing things that Jesus did. And so he was carefully selecting everything that went into his gospel. And nobody else included this story. But Jesus has to hike. It's at least a 3-day walk from this area all the way back up into Cana. Because he can't miss this wedding. Okay, he's expected to be there. He's going to catch it from his mom. He's going to catch it from everybody. He's like, okay, I guess once I do that, then I can, you know, get going on doing what God has called me to do. Okay, so wedding's going along fine. Hey, back up. I don't want you guys to see that just yet. So none of you guys have ever been to a real wedding before. I mean, a real Jewish wedding before. I mean, what's the longest you've ever been at a wedding? I mean, you got to really set aside 5 hours. We learned that. I mean, you know, when our kids were little, we realized all the weddings that, you know, we would get invited to and that I would be officiating and things like that. To get a babysitter, you know, to get grandparents to watch the kids, there was never any 3-hour. I mean, it was always 5 hours. That's the minimum for a wedding. Okay, but that's a boring North American type of wedding. A good old-fashioned Jewish wedding goes days. It's 5 to 7 days. And back then, I mean, it was between families. It was the whole village, the whole town came together. There was no, really, the church, the rabbis, the church really didn't get involved. It was really between families. In the Christian heritage, the priests don't get involved and pastors and things like that until like in the 1300s. And so so it's really just, you know, families getting together and just partying for a week straight. I mean, that's really, really what was going on. And so who knows at what point in the celebration this happens. But the worst thing ever that could happen at a wedding, right, is the wine supply runs dry. The wine supply ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Hey, Jay, they have no more wine. And Jesus responds, and maybe you're used to reading the story in a more traditional translation where he responds, he says, woman, do not involve me. And in our English translation, this is why I like this particular one a little better. It brings out the flavor of the Hebrew in that context, where it's a word of affection. When we you know, in our culture, when you start off with, hey woman, you know, or just woman, I mean that sounds very, you know, abrupt and harsh. And so if you read and come across the story in a translation that says that, they're kind of missing it a little bit. And it's really more of a, like in Robin Hood language, m'lady, my lady is what Mary heard when or I like how the New Living puts it here, dear woman. It's a term of affection when Jesus responds to Mary. And that's really important to know. Dear woman, that's not our problem. Okay? It's like if they didn't plan that out, you know, and you can tell Jesus is looking at his watch a little bit. You know, it's like, I've got some bigger fish to fry here, okay? I'm about to embark. I just went face to face with the enemy of the world for 40 days straight. And I'm ready to tackle, you know, bringing God's love into, you know, and sharing this and proclaiming the gospel, you know. And it's like it's not going to be the end of the world that, you know, that we're going to be sipping on, water and apple juice here a little bit. So my time has not yet come. And so Jesus is saying, this isn't the time to, you know, to do that. But his mother completely ignored his response. But his mother just went straight to the servants and said, hey, do whatever he tells you. Okay. Okay, so I the best visual in our time that I can come up with that grabs these personalities, it's one of my favorite TV mom-son teams ever. And so if you're a Ray Romano fan, so everybody loves Raymond and his wonderful, I mean, Doris Roberts, who's like the most amazing mom in that show in many ways. But this is, well, you know, I'm just, you know, and if you grew up in the Catholic Church, like many of us did, we all have this incredible reverence for Mary. And so, but Mary invites us to have a little fun with her in this story, because you can tell Mary's got a fun personality. She is much more concerned about the party going on and her good friends that she is a part of. It could be her family. She doesn't want them embarrassed. And she's probably a little upset that her own glass is looking a little empty. And so let's let Mary, you know, be a little fun. But I mean, can't you just imagine Jesus in a good everybody loves Raymond? Come on, Mom, not now, not here. Seriously, it's like this isn't how I want this to start off, you know. And Mary just, I mean, obviously knowing everything, you know, about who Jesus is and what he can do. I mean, she, you know, she went to him to save the day. And just like a mom knowing what their child can do and the way that they can use their talents and their gifts to bring alive what is missing. Just totally gives him that look. And I just wish I could be there, because we miss the looks. And there had to be a look between these two statements. Because you know, Jesus is looking at her, you know, it's like, Mom, this isn't, you know, this isn't the right time. And then Mary just looks at Jesus and goes, you know, it's like, just, you know, for your mom, you know, if you're not wanting to do it for, you know, the whole wedding party, and you got to be somewhere else here pretty soon, and you've got other priorities going on, but what about, you know, and Jesus just looks at her and goes, seriously, Mom, you know this is going to get out, you know this is going to get out, and, you know, it's a sign, one of these guys is going to write this down as, you know, it's this big deal, this is, you know, and then she's just looking at him again, and then, you know, and then you can just see she gets him to that just that place where he's buying in, and he knows that this is, she's got her son's heart captured. And she's just looking at him with, let's just remember all those things I've done for you all your life, you know, and all that, you know. And then Jesus, he gets that look on his face where he just in a wonderful, humble, awesome way, just sort of gives her that arm. You know, she's all, okay, just talk to him. And she goes right to her, and he'll tell her what to do. Just do what he says, and everything will work out. Boy, that's kind of a good just creed to live by. Just do what he says, and everything will just work out when Jesus is involved. Okay. Hope I painted the picture pretty good here. So standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Let's say they average about 25-gallon jugs. How big would that be? Pretty big. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water, because they were empty. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the MC, the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. Okay, so these were pretty heavy stone jars. These weren't the type of jars that you could really move around very easily. These things were pretty set in place. Stone water vessels were used instead of the more common, affordable clay pots, because the stone wouldn't absorb the impurities. You dip your hands in there. These were, you know, these were for you coming into a house, and this must have been a large, you know, estate. Maybe they rented out a big hall, you know, for the wedding, and so there was enough that could handle a large crowd, and these weren't even being used. But you would this is where you would wash before entering a home or some sort of gathering place. And so you want it to be stone, because, you know, you don't want the bacteria and stuff being absorbed by the clay, and so the stone would be a lot easier to keep clean. unlike how clay would. But these were for hand washing, not for drinking from. And so you really don't see this in most of the the more recent comment. I mean, you got to kind of dig around to, and I wish I had, because I've told the story a little bit in the past, but I never really realized Jesus is having a little fun here with the servants and with the MC, because nobody's used to drinking out of these things. That's a little nasty. It's fine to wash your hands in. In fact, I was just this morning, Denise loves to go out to this huge nursery, and they have a special thing on Mother's Day at Annie's Annuals out in Richmond. It's this amazing place. And they just had one of those hand washing, outdoor portable hand washing kinds of things. And they had this big, sign that said, "Do not drink the water for hand washing only." It's like, hey, I'm going to be talking about that later today. It was the same kind of thing. It would be kind of gross if somebody like put their, and one kid went, that's what made me think of it. One kid was trying to do that and his mom pulled him back. And so Jesus is doing, he's having a little bit of fun here, because these servants are all, okay, we're supposed to do what he says, and he wants our boss to drink out of this now, and Jesus is all, fine, if you're going to ask me to do this, I'm going to get to do it my way. And so he's just sort of watching what's going to happen. And these guys are super nervous. You got to realize that they're going to be kind of walking on eggshells, taking a little cup that they've got for their boss. So when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, and these guys are just waiting for him to, explode and go, where did this stuff come from? Not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. And these guys are like, oh no, we're going to catch it because he's going to think it's our fault. Oh, and he just has this look on his face. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you've kept the best until now. Who knows, maybe it's day 4 or day 5, And usually by then, usually you put out the good stuff first when you need to impress people when they're still, pretty sober and stuff. But towards the end of the party, you don't need to impress everybody. We were in wine country recently, and we got into a little, it was a friendly debate about whether you should, when you've been wine tasting for a while, whether, the whole, do you drink the whole thing, or do you find the little spittoon and, like the pros do, and you spit it out as you go, because then you keep your wits about you more. And so this older couple that we were talking to was very adamant that that's the way to go, because then you can really know more about what you're doing. Well, that was the case back then too. It's like people aren't going to care or notice after they've been enjoying the wine for that long. But why are you now bringing out the best stuff? So Jesus not only kept the party going, he kept it going in style. And so what's fun about this story is you just learn how cool, this little family from Nazareth is, and just a fun-loving, little family. And it all starts off with Mother Mary. Okay, but another little point here. I did the math a little bit here, and a standard bottle of wine these days is about 750 milliliters, which equals about 0.2 gallons. So 25-gallon jugs, 6 of them, would hold enough wine. This wasn't just a little bit of wine to get through, the hour. 750 bottles of wine. Dug a little deeper. Cana wasn't a big town. At this time, it was estimated to have a population of 400 at the time. So again, Jesus' style, he not only gives you the best stuff, he gives you more than you could ever handle. And so he more than supplied the party to keep the party going. And so, but this is the best little thing. This is my favorite line in the whole little story. Remember, John's recording all this stuff. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory. Nobody saw this coming. Mary saw it coming because she knew him better than anybody. And his disciples believed in him. I mean, up until now, it was like, hey, sounds like a cool guy. Sounds like a great rabbi, you know, that I can learn some things from. And it's like, whoa, who is this guy? Is he really the Son of God? It went from a question to an answer in their minds. After the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. And so, but this amazing little story, again, that was not part of, you know, it was not part of Jesus' plan to begin his public ministry this way. And he probably had to adjust things a little bit. So I had some fun putting this together. You know, it's like he probably had a little bit of a plan, don't you think? But now he had to kind of edit that a little bit. And forever now, and he's got his mom to thank for it and her little nudging, is he would always be famous for his very first miracle. Was, I mean, he probably had these grand, you know, plans, you know, to really bless people and do some good in the world and really show people, reveal God through him, through giving sight to the blind, feeding thousands, all, you know, curing lepers, all these amazing works that he did. But he will always be known for that inaugural miracle of keeping the party going at this little wedding that he had to show up, you know, in this little, tiny little village. And so, but he does it. Didn't intend to do it, but because of that look that his mom gave him, that look that only a mom can give. But it meant a lot to him, you know, and Jesus took every bit of God's word so seriously. And this is one of the big ones. It's in the top 10. It's the number 5 of the 10 commandments. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It's the only commandment out of the 10 that has a little tack on blessing. You know, all the other ones say, you know, don't lie, don't murder, don't use God's name in vain. But this is the one that says, if you do this, it's going to go well with you. God's going to throw out a very practical blessing into your life when you honor your parents. There's something that really honors God in that. And God wants to bring honor to kids who honor their parents. And all of us are kids to somebody. And I was thinking, you know, we put the youth to work here a little bit so we could have more of the adults in here. But I was thinking we were going to have some more of the youth in here, and I wanted to use this time to really kind of maybe my own kids to motivate them to say, hey, if you really want to honor God and feel His honor in your life, honor your mom, especially today. Maybe clean up that room. Maybe some of our moms are kind of long distance and we don't get to see them today, but we can call them up and have maybe a little longer phone call than usual. Maybe cook a meal for them. Maybe help them out on, you know, with some of that technology that you're so good at. And so this is kind of a fun little personal story for me. I was hearing on the radio it was somebody complaining about how much time and energy it was taking to show their mom, who was, you know, a little bit a retired age person, how to, you know, use some technology. And I was laughing about it, and it got me talking, having another conversation with a friend who was feeling some of that frustration. And I was saying, hey, I think it's great. I've been spending a lot of time with with my mom, you know, with, you know, she's got a smartphone and a tablet and a computer and learning all these things and spending all this time, and it's hard. You don't really know how hard that was. You know, we kind of, you know, grew into it, and our kids, like, you know, come out of the chute, you know, knowing how to use these things. And so if you've never used it, you know, it's not that easy, and we got to remember that. I came across this, and it really helped me. I will never complain about my mom asking basic computer questions. She once showed me how to use a spoon. And so that's just a fun way to remind us how much our moms have shown and taught us, and all the world of patience, mom, that you, all you moms, you know, bring your kids, and it's such a reflection of God's heart in our lives. And so I asked you guys to write down your favorite attribute of your mom. And I want to share this with you a little bit, and then we're going to do something, but I thought this was kind of a cool little way to think about that. And so, somebody's got an adventurous mom. And so that's kind of cool. So somebody had probably always kept you on your toes, you know, and made sure you were getting the most out of life. This mom is a quiet, like her quiet, loving way. And so probably always knew she was there for you, and it didn't take a lot of words. You just knew because of her quiet presence how loved you were. The ability to listen. Honesty. You could always trust who she is. Her unconditional love. No matter what you did and the hijinks and trouble you got into, you could never put a dent in that unconditional love. Phenomenal giver. Just being selfless. All these attributes that show off God's heart in such a unique way through the hearts of our moms. Okay, somebody's got to write a paragraph here. My mom knows how to do just about everything, like a park ranger, doctor, vet, etc. So just a multi-talented mom. Well, come back in here, you guys. I'm almost ready for you, but that's okay. Let's get ready. You guys kind of get ready while I turn it up. But I want you guys to hear this. Here's what we did. All the grown-ups wrote down their favorite thing about their own mom, okay? Which could probably be some of the grandmas in here. And so, and they wrote down things like unconditional love and being honest and a good listener, extremely vocal. Love and encouragement. There's moms who were quiet in their love and moms who expressed it in their words very well. She was a servant and loved music. Always positive. Always patient. Very strong. Persevered through hard times, all these wonderful things. But here's what I want to ask you guys to do. You're holding on to one of these words, one of these expressions. I believe everybody here is going to do a great job. You've probably already done a great job loving your mom today on Mother's Day. So it has nothing to do with how you're going to love your mom. What it has to do is taking how your mom loves, taking that expression, that gift, that attribute that's in your hand, and this week, bringing that into someone else's life, which might be really tough, because if your mom was this adventurous mom, and you're more of a quiet, shy personality, it's going to stretch you a little bit. If your mom was one of those really patient type personalities, and you're not, it's going to stretch you a little bit. And that's okay. Your job this week is to bring your mom into somebody else's life. That favorite attribute. And it might be tough, but that's okay. That's going to be really good for you, not to mention the person that you bring your mom's love and life into. And so, I just want to say a quick little prayer,
Isaiah, are you going to be ready with the amen again? Okay, cool. And so, Lord Jesus, thank you that we can learn so much about this amazing story and just see how much you love your mom. That you would do anything for her. And Lord, the example that shows us not only how to love our moms and honor our parents, but to bring love into all the relationships around us. And so, Lord, we just lift you up, and now as we move into a time again of worship and coming to your table for communion, we just want to give our hearts to you and let you mold our hearts to be more like you. We pray this in your name.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Okay, you guys ready to do some more singing? Are we going to hold on to the microphones? We don't need the stands. Let's just keep them back here. And come up front. Press the little button so the light changes to green. Give me a chance to get Chris ready. Before I do that.